History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, here we are on a Wednesday on 96.5 The Fan. It is Fesco and Dusty. Dusty on vacation. Mac Morey in as well. Good morning, Mac. I hope you're doing wonderful today. It is going to be another beautiful day in the city today. It's going to be a gorgeous day outside. And,
yes, it is.
Everybody's going to get that outside weather. We were at soccer yesterday.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, beautiful night for soccer. We're at soccer every night now. Because,
yes, you are.
Every night, yeah.
It's unreal.
Actually, tonight's a break. Tomorrow's our last JV game. So I think, and then Friday is the banquet, and then the varsity team has still got some, you know, playoff stuff going on next week. But, yeah, we're finally done. You know, this week I wouldn't trade it for the world. There's nothing better than watching your kids play. It doesn't matter if they win, if they lose. It just doesn't matter. There's nothing better in this world than sitting down on a bleacher and watching your kids play, whatever sport.
Hey, y'all. Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
It is, and I encourage all parents to do that. You know, everybody, I can't get out of work. Get out of work. Work's not going to be there for you. Your kid's always going to be there for you. And take that opportunity to go watch your kid, you know, do their thing. It's the most rewarding thing that you can do in life as a parent is to go out there and watch your kid perform and have fun. And I love doing that. So every single night there's a game, I'm there. And we were at a game last night, and we're talking about, obviously, the weather. And one of the fathers goes, I think today is the day, Mac. He says, I think it is. I think we're here. I can finally put my long pants away and wear shorts all summer now.
Yes.
I think we finally reached that point
of the
spring and summer. So I think we're here. I think the 80s, I know there's going to be some rain and, you know, some nasty weather coming potentially over the weekend, but it is spring. It is the Midwest, and you can put on some shorts and enjoy yourself out there today because it is going to be a gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous day. So a lot of stuff kind of, you know, hit the fan yesterday as we were kind of leaving and things were kind of moving in rapid speed. We found out the Chiefs are going to open that game against the Denver Broncos at home. We found out yesterday also, too, that UMKC is going to be returning to Municipal Auditorium. And we'll talk a lot about that as this kind of segment rolls along today. We're getting ourselves excited for the first games of the college football season. I mean, there's so much now starting to converge in the sports world. Wemby last night. I mean, stars being stars. You want to talk about that? You want to talk about stars being stars? He did
arriving.
Something that's never been done before in the NBA. 27 points, 17 rebounds, 75 three-point shot. Like, it was insane. Spurs win by 30 because your star was a star last night. I mean, it was just a remarkable performance by him. The best performance, I think, offensively by anybody since they put the three-point line in like the 70s. I mean, it was like an unbelievable performance. But that's how you win games in these big moments are these, you know, these stars being stars. And when you look at that game that is going to be played at Arrowhead Stadium on that first Monday night of the NFL season, well, you're getting that game because they know stars are going to be stars. You know, that's what they want in that first game, that first marquee game. They want stars. And look, Bo Nix was a good football player last year. I mean, they probably win that game against the New England Patriots if he's not hurt, you know?
I mean, for sure.
Yeah. The more you look back at that game, I know the coach messed that one up, but Bo Nix is becoming a star in this league. And obviously Patrick Mahomes is a star in this league, the star of this league. And so when you look at the way that the NFL is releasing these games and how individualistic they are, they're releasing games that involve either international or the big time stars. And that's what we've seen so far. You get your Dallas games are being released, right? All your international games are being released. Chiefs Broncos, Monday night, Arrowhead Stadium, first game of the year, star versus stars. And that's that's what you need to have. You need to have that star power, and we talk about it all the time. When your stars are good, you have an opportunity to go out there and win, and that's why we get this game on Monday night. I know there's been a lot of debate, and you know, I saw a lot of from the Bronco fans pissed off that this game's at Arrowhead. I would be too. They should be pissed off that this game is at Arrowhead Stadium. This game should be in Denver, and it should be an opener for the Broncos because they won the division. And as we talked about yesterday, I want to go out there and play road spoiler too. I want to go out there and knock the Broncos off in week one and set them up to have to basically recover all season long. And instead, now that game's here. So you get that game under your belt at Arrowhead. It's all great, grand, and wonderful that it's going to be at home. But man, it would have been so much sweeter to go on the road in week one and take care of the Broncos, because now we got to go out there later in the season. Bo Nix could be healthier by then. They may be a better football team by then. Who knows what the situation's going to be? I would have loved to have gone out to Denver in week one and just bloodied them out there and left them for dead to start the season, you know?
No, I'm with you, but the more I've kind of thought about it yesterday with everything, I mean, yes, do they deserve it based on merit, but when did we do this based on merit?
Yeah.
Other than the Super Bowl winner, sorry, this is just the way it goes. And guess what? You'll have us against Denver at your place later in the season, but mm-hmm. I'm sorry. And also, if you want to talk about merit, how about three straight Super Bowls before?
Right.
How about five Super Bowls in 7 years? How about the face of the league? That's merit.
Mm-hmm.
Travis Kelce's last season, that's merit. All these things actually point towards the Chiefs. If you want success this century, it's the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Last 10 years, the Chiefs. Last season, fine, it's the Broncos, but Patrick Mahomes got hurt.
Yeah.
So there's something to point to. So I would say get bent to the Broncos, Broncos fans who are pissed, and they are going to be mad, but we played Arizona after back-to-back Super Bowls. They had to go to Brazil on their road to three straight Super Bowls.
That's
right. Start their season in Brazil. So the Chiefs have had this short end of the stick with scheduling their whole tenure. They're going on the road. They have short weeks.
I never thought of it from that perspective, Mac. That's a really good take by you. That's well put, you know?
They get handed all these international games. Yeah. They get handed, they're the guinea pig for every network. All this stuff. And then one time the Chiefs get a home game against the Broncos. Oh, I'm so sorry. Make one AFC championship game in this new era, and all of a sudden you deserve everything. I don't know.
Yeah, no, and I get that. That's a good point, but I want to go on the road and get that win.
I do get that. From that perspective, I'm with you. That's the only perspective that I want.
I want to go out there and take care of business on week
check
one, win
off
on the road on Monday Night Football in front of a national audience and put that check mark in the box, because you know what they're going to say about Mahomes. Oh, it was home. It was Arrowhead. He had the referees, the fans. Hands on this. You go on the road, you win that game. And Denver is a hostile environment. I mean, it's one of the best environments in all the NFL.
100%.
You go out there and you win that game, that is a statement game. Coming back from injury, going to Denver, beating the team that everybody's falling in love with right now, right? You do that on the road in week one, you have set yourself up for a beautiful start to the season. And it doesn't really get much better than that, than going on the road and beating your division rival, a team that won the division last year that took it away from you after you've had that 10-year hold on it. So I think that would be absolutely awesome to do something like that. But whatever the case may be, it's going to be home. It's going to be here. And Joe Buck was talking the other day on Good Morning America about this game, and I think he's pretty convinced Mahomes is going to be part of it.
Yeah, I mean, well, first of all, we know Patrick Mahomes is not human. So he probably healed after a week. But he's evidently ahead of schedule. Bo Nix missed the AFC champ game with a bad ankle. But he is supposedly good to go and will be ready for training camp. So hopeful that, within that matchup, we get Mahomes and Nix, which makes it, you know, that much better.
Yeah.
A little different tone between Mahomes and Nix. Yeah, Mahomes is not human. He'll be there. And, Bo Nix supposedly will be ready. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, very different vibe when he talks about either of them.
Well, we do have more of a track record with Patrick Mahomes, though, too, right? Bo Nix obviously has the track record of the injuries, but we haven't seen the miraculous comebacks that Patrick Mahomes has had on one leg, on one ankle, with a knee twisted to the left. Like, we have seen these things over now the last decade or so where we have seen Patrick Mahomes respond and recover and play under circumstances that nobody thought was human. And so he has that human side of him, or that unhuman side of him, which makes us all believe he's like a machine. He's a robot. He's going to go out there. We have absolutely seen that from Patrick Mahomes. We have not seen that out of Bo Nix. And so I think there probably is a little pause for a lot of people, but there isn't a lot of pause for Patrick Mahomes coming off a shredded ACL, because, we have seen this before. We know he's going to be okay. So that was kind of the dust settling yesterday on that first game of the season for the Chiefs on Monday Night Football. And then we roll into getting the news yesterday that UMKC officially, as we've been telling you for the last 2 months or so, they're going back now to Municipal Auditorium. It is official. The renderings that they put out there, the pictures that they threw out yesterday on X and social media were flat out awesome. It looked great of what they plan to do down there. And I think for me, for my sake, this is one of the coolest things that we've had happen in sports is getting that team back to the back to Municipal Auditorium. And I remember back in the days when UMKC was having some fun, right? And Michael Watson was playing and Coach Z was coaching and
Watson,
people
yes!
were behind this team. They were beating Missouri. They were beating Kansas State. Municipal Auditorium was a place to be. You felt like you had FOMO if you weren't going down there. And that's what they're trying to create now. Now with Turge on board, you got some, you know, local kids being part of this thing as well. This is a great move for UMKC and can really be a team that we all kind of rally around and root for because it's Kansas City. I mean, my God, it's our town. It's not KU. It's not MU. It's not K-State, Iowa State, any of the, you know, the schools that we all tend to root for around here. This is one that can galvanize the whole city together. And we really haven't had that from UMKC in the last 23 years. And so I think this is an exciting time for UMKC. This is an exciting time for sports in Kansas City. And I think by doing this, hiring Turge, really committing to college basketball again, UMKC is going to be a big part of the sports scene going forward in a town that is an unbelievable sports town already. If they have a little bit of success, man, that place is going to be packed. I think it'll be fun to go down there and watch them play basketball.
It'll be awesome. And I've always thought it'd be fun, but I guess I never thought that point. It's a great point by you because you're right. It's such a great sports city, and UMKC being the city school, we don't have to have gone there or be alumni or even know someone who goes there. We live here and we love sports. And if they're going to give us something fun to watch and they got a coach and Mark Turgeon, who's going to get these guys and get recruits and coach these guys up to be a great, fun basketball team. Hell yeah, we're going to pack out that arena, dude.
Yeah.
And support him. So yeah, Rue up. I'm actually stoked. And that's a good point because you're right. Like, we will support sports teams here. We just will.
I mean, look at what happened with the Current right away, right? Yep. Selling out. Look at what happened with Sporting KC when they first came on the map. Now, that's not a good example. Now, we sell out. We go to teams. We support our teams. We love our teams. And so I'm excited about this. I think this is going to be good for the city. It's going to be great. And it's really important, I think, now as this college basketball thing continues to evolve and change and the tournament got expanded now, to continue to focus on Municipal Auditorium and remind people how historical that building really is. I mean, it's hosted more Final Fours, NCAA tournament games. I mean, we are the birthplace of college basketball here in Kansas City, and that arena is so important to tell the history of what this sport is all about. I mean, it's places where Wilt Chamberlain played, for God's sakes. I mean, like, this is a very historic auditorium that needs to have that story told. And I think, you know, with the expansion of the NCAA tournament, I think the you know, one of those rounds should be permanently here in Kansas City, either Tuesday or Wednesday. We're permanently in Dayton, Ohio. They should permanently make one of those opening rounds here in Kansas City, and those games should be played at Municipal Auditorium, not at the T-Mobile Center. And the reason I say that is because you could incorporate the history, give somebody something different and unique. Yeah, they don't have the best locker rooms and stuff like that, but who cares? It's a win-and-in type of tournament in the probably the most historic venue for college basketball that is available on planet Earth right now. And so I think we should do something like that. So there's part of me that's like, hey, if UMKC starts to win, we start to generate some buzz, everybody's packing out Municipal, maybe that becomes the place where you do Dayton on Tuesday and you do Kansas City on Wednesday, and then you start your tournament Thursday and Friday. I think it would be really cool to have one round of the playing games here every single year because of the history that we do have with the NCAA being here, with the Final Fours being here, the birthplace of college basketball, the College Basketball Hall of Fame, the college coaches are headquartered here. Like, there's so much here that screams we should have one of those opening round games. And I think if UMKC can pull it off and become a real player in all of this, then, yeah, we can probably take that to the next level and start using Municipal Auditorium for really cool things like that. At least that's my dream, right?
Yeah, of course.
A kid can dream and do those things. And I'm probably hearing Kathy Nelson go, Bob, please stop making me bid on all this stuff, okay? We have the Final Four coming. We have the Super Bowl coming. We have the World Cup coming. We have the draft already here. Bob, please. Kathy, I'm sorry, but we're just going to continue to push the envelope forward.
Ramp it up.
Because you're damn good at what you do, and nobody's better in the country at their job than what Kathy Nelson does here in Kansas City. Love you, Kathy. Anyway, so this year we've partnered with KCUC, who's donating $50 to the Prostate Cancer Foundation for every home run the boys in blue hit this season. 1 in 8 men will face prostate cancer. Early detection saves lives at KCUC, Kansas City's largest, most experienced, and most advanced neurology team. You see the best in KC. Scheduled today at KCUC.com. Got two last night. El Capitan went deep, and so did Bobby Witt. We'll tell you the result of the game next. Wednesday here, Fesco and Dusty, 96.5 The Fan, Dusty out, Mac in, and so we are here on a Wednesday. We talk about all sorts of, like, bad ways to die, Mac. You saw that dude the other day get blasted by a 787 on the runway. That's not a good way to go, right?
No.
Probably not the best. I don't know if you saw this story yesterday. Carnival cruise guest, 88, dies after driving mobility scooter off the pier in the Bahamas.
What? How's that even possible?
Imagine being on one of the mobility scooters and riding to your death into the Caribbean Sea down in the Bahamas at 80. I mean, that's a terrible way to go,
that
right?
That's awful. Because that you have enough time to realize.
Well, I would think you're not moving very fast on one of those things, right?
Yeah. So you know, I'm about to, I can't control it. It's.
What do you do when that's you're 88 years old. I mean, you're not rolling off that thing. Nobody's going to stop it. Nobody's going to get in the way. Nobody's going to try to help. I mean, like, again, you're not moving fast. We've all seen the mobility scooters on, like, the Family Guy episode, right? They're moving very slow. Yeah. And so you've seen the mobility scooters out there. They don't move fast. How did this happen?
Yeah, and how is there a portion of the boat that you can just roll out
on? No, it was on the pier.
Oh, you're on the pier.
But even still, you're on the pier. Like, that should be kind of a protected area.
There should still be rails or something.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You would think, yeah. So, 88 years old. I mean, do you hang on and let the thing just bring you to the bottom of the ocean? Did they go down there and get it? It's clear. You could see.
You could. Yeah, that's crazy.
Nobody run in and rescue this person? Like, I imagine you're standing around the dock. A lot of people probably just stand there scratching their ass, right? Like, oh, granny went in.
No.
You better go get grandma. Where is she? She just rolled into the ocean on her mobility scooter.
Betsy, come back.
Yeah. Come on. Betty. Betty. Where are you?
Yeah, no, there's no good way to die, but that is certainly
in your sleep and you don't know it isn't a horrible way.
That's fair.
You're dead, but you didn't know.
You don't know.
You were asleep. You just went. That's the way to go. Not drowning or getting blasted by a 787 on Denver's runway. At least it could have been a United jet, Frontier. I mean,
it wasn't Spirit Airlines.
No, it definitely wasn't. No, we definitely know that. So yesterday I had lunch with my first mentor, Mike McKenzie, and we went to a lovely place called Maloney's. In downtown Overland Park, right?
Jealous.
Had myself a nice little salad. He had the bowl of chili. His daughter, Kim, showed up. She had the bowl of chili. Apparently the chili is off the charts at Maloney's.
Okay, good to know.
Phenomenal. We got to have the chilies. Had it 2 days in a row. I said, you've been here before. Okay, cool. So we're sitting there, and Mike worked in media all over the country. He worked for Sports Illustrated, worked for the Kansas City Star. He was doing Royals pre and post game. That's how I became his intern. And I was in college, and he was doing like Royals pre and post game on the weekends. And so I would come in here, cut the tape, do all that kind of stuff. And, we just kind of formed a relationship over the years, have kept in touch. He's worked in some, collegiate sports and all that kind of stuff, but a very, very impactful person in my life. And we were sitting around yesterday, and he was regaling me with all of these great sports stories, to which I said, Mike, we got to do a podcast at some point. I mean, he's telling me about his, interactions with Will Chamberlain, and one of the coolest stories he told me, and I thought of Mac, and I thought, man, Mac would have loved to have heard this story, watching Julius Erving and Pete Maravich play for 2 weeks on the same basketball team before the ABA ruled it was an illegal trade or something, and they had to send Dr. J back to the ABA or however it played out back in those days. He goes, I got to watch these guys at practice for 2 weeks against each other, like Dr. J and Pete Maravich. And I know for all the young heads, you're like, who are those two guys? Two of the greatest basketball players of all time, right? It would be epic. It would be like, I don't even know what the comparison would be right now, like having Wemby and LeBron on the same team for 2 weeks, or you know, I don't even know, like the two best players in the league, like
savants,
just say like LeBron and Jordan on the court at the same time,
exactly,
and watching those two guys play. But you know, Pete Maravich and Dr. J on the same team,
that's incredible.
And then the league was like, all right, this is illegal. Dr. J has to go back to the Virginia team that he was on, like the Virginian Commonwealth or something like that of the old ABA. I don't even know what their name was, but for some reason that sounded good. So he went back. And so we were just telling all these stories, and it was great. It was so much fun to catch up. And he dropped this trivia question on me, and I want to ask the trivia question to the audience to see if anybody happens to know this. And I'll put the trivia question out there. We'll talk about something else, and then we'll get back to the trivia question, Matt, because I want to see if our audience can figure this one out. You know the answer, so you do not need to.
It's a good way to do this. Let's have them guess.
Yeah, let's have them guess.
I agree.
And then we'll talk a little bit about something else, and then we'll move back to this.
We'll
because I want to see if people know. Because I knew right away, and I'm terrible at trivia, but I just put two and two together. I'm like, it has to be this. Who was Bill Self's most famous teammate?
There you go.
Do you know who Bill Self's most famous teammate was? So you can text in Jay Southland Tow Service text line 913-586-7965. Text in if you know who Bill Self's most famous teammate was. We'll give you a couple of minutes. Text in, see if anybody knows. We'll come back to this. I want to give the folks on the text line an opportunity to see if they have an answer. And Mac, if somebody does come in with the answer, please let me know right away, because I think it's a great topic and a great conversation, you know, to have. And so we were talking about all kinds of things, and then Darren Peterson comes up in conversation. And we're talking about Darren Peterson. And again, this is my friend Mike, mid-80s, Dr. J's covered, Pete Maravich he's covered. Everybody, right? He's seen everybody play.
Yeah.
And so we're talking about Darren Peterson. And I said to him, I said, I think he's the best player that I've seen at KU. And I said, I go back to 1995, right, with Paul Pierce. And Paul Pierce was the best that I'd ever seen at KU. I'm a little biased. We were in school together. You know, it's my age and all that kind of stuff, right? Like freshman.
Truth.
Yeah. He was phenomenal, obviously. But this Darren Peterson was special. And Mike looked at me and he goes, well, there was a guy named Will. I go, yes. I said, but before me, he goes, oh, no, that's fair. He goes, yeah. He goes, this guy is unbelievable, right? And yesterday, I'm scrolling through X or doing whatever, and there's like a minute-long video of Darren Peterson just popping, I guess you could say, raw three-point shots, right? Get the ball, shoot, get the ball, shoot, get
the combine,
ball, shoot, right? Just around the arc.
19 for 25,
I was going to say, I thought it was 19 and 24, 19, 25, whatever it was. It was some of the most impressive stuff that I watched. And I'm watching this kid shoot, and I'm watching him drain shot after shot after shot after shot. And I just keep coming back to this. And I know it could be hyperbolic in the moment, but he's just a pure player. That's the only way I can describe Darren Peterson. When he is on and he is in the zone and he is doing his thing, there wasn't a better player in college basketball this year.
Yep.
There was not a better player in college basketball. And I don't even know that it was particularly close, honestly, when you talk about the best player in college basketball. And because he was trying to do what he thought was right to get out there and play and with the creatine, we were all kind of robbed of getting the opportunity to see Darren Peterson play. And he'll be down on that list for me of the what-ifs, right? The what-ifs, because Darren Peterson ended up being a what-if at KU. Phenomenal player. We just didn't get enough of him, right?
Yeah.
We just didn't get enough of Darren Peterson.
And sometimes, and by the way, we do have it on the text line.
We did
get it.
We
got it from one person. So we can wait if we want to wait and see if we can keep guessing. Again, we are asking you, who is Bill Self's most famous teammate he's ever had? Bill Self's most famous teammate. And you can just be a part of the Jay Southland Tow text line, 913-586-7965. We do have it correct answer so far. Lots of guesses.
Lots of guesses, I was going to say, right? But only one correct
one
so
correct.
Far.
So
we'll
keep that going. Keep guessing, and you know who you are. Maybe you don't, but we do have one correct
What's
answer.
What's the area code?
913.
All right.
You know who you are. You did get it correct. Maybe you don't, but maybe you do. Yeah, man, Darren Peterson, as far as basketball player, I don't think it is close. You're talking about IQ. You're talking about deep both sides of the ball, the ability not just to score but to shoot, because that's the thing. And if you add on the fact that I believe, and as I think many are starting to come to the fact that he was not 100% last year.
No, he was.
He was hurt.
He was hurt all year.
And you can watch him in high school, which, by the way, a lot of these scouts do watch a lot of these high school tapes. They don't just care about the 30 games. It's 30 games. Yeah. That's what you're judging these freshmen off of. No, you've got to watch what they've been doing these past few years. And if you watch Darren Peterson in high school, you can watch him against A.J. DeBanza in high school in certain tournaments too. He is that dude, and it is obvious he did not have that burst because of the hamstring issue.
Right.
I believe he should be the number one pick. I've been a Darren Peterson supporter in his quarter since day one. We act like he missed over half the season, and when he did play, averaged 10 points a game on bad efficiency, when in reality, he shot an incredible clip, only missed 11 games, and was the dude when he was on the court and was the only essence of offense they had for the last three weeks of the season, month of the season. That whole offense cratered, and you could argue as to why that was, whether he was because he was reinserted back into the lineup or whatever may have you. It was bad, and he was their only source. They gave him the ball and said, save us.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, and that's why I use the term pure player, because that's what you're watching out there. And so, long story short, to get back to watching him at the combine yesterday, shooting shot after shot after shot after shot, how does he not go 1-1? I mean, that is a guy that is the purest of pure. Now, I know he's peddling himself as a point guard, and Washington maybe doesn't need a point guard at this point in time. Maybe he's doing that
guard
to peddle himself away from Washington.
That could be it,
You know, at this point in time, maybe you'd rather go 4 or 5 as opposed to having to go to the Washington Wizards. But I think he's the number one guy, and he is by far the number one guy. We were talking about it. You mentioned basketball IQ with him. We were having the conversation. He goes, do you remember that play where he was going up to the one side and switched the ball to his other hand? I go, absolutely remember that play.
Yes.
And then the TCU moments where he hit a shot, go on to the bench, come off, hit a shot, go back to the bench. Like, I think we spent so much time complaining. Again, this is what we do, though. We spent so much time complaining about why he wasn't playing. We forgot the moments that he did play. And I think now, looking back and watching what Darren Peterson's doing and how good I think he is going to be, I think we're all going to go, damn, we missed it here in Kansas City. We missed that year in Kansas City because we spent so much time complaining about him not being in, that when he did play, we missed how effing good he was.
Yeah, he'd play half a game and have 20 points.
Dominating.
And miss 3 or 4 shots. It was clear when he was on and when he was healthy.
Right.
He was a man amongst boys, and this is an 18-year-old. I mean, he's making passes, he's getting guys on his hip, he's playing at a pace that you just don't see these guys play at. I loved watching him play, and I think he should be the number one pick, because you look at the way he was able to score too in comparison to A.J. DeBanza or Caleb Wilson. Those guys are 6'9 with 7-foot wingspans playing against college players, and I don't know how often A.J. DeBanza, when he goes in that 12 to 14 foot range and does that little turnaround jumper that he does, like, it was never contested.
Right.
Because he's playing college players. That move is going to have hands in your face. And when you watch Darren Peterson score, he's smothered. It doesn't matter. Double teamed. He's hitting fadeaway shots. He's hitting that crazy 3-pointer against Texas Tech, I believe it was, to win the game. Like, he just, those contested shots are going to be what mimics more closely the NBA. It's not A.J. DeBanza going up against 6'6" centers and hitting turnaround J's on him.
Yeah. No, I think you're right about that. He's the best player in the draft, and he should go 1-1 overall. All right. Do we get the answer?
We do. We've got it now a few times.
Okay. We've got a few times. So our trivia question was, as I was talking to my mentor, Mike McKenzie, yesterday, he goes, do you know Bill Self's most famous teammate was? And I immediately said, Garth Brooks.
There it is.
Right? Garth Brooks, and I just put the Oklahoma State thing together and all of that, and there it was. Bill Self was teammates with Garth Brooks, but not how you think he was teammates with Garth Brooks. They were on the intramural softball team together at Oklahoma State.
Oh, what?
I guess Garth was a track and field athlete down there at Oklahoma State, right?
That's awesome.
And so they knew each other because of sports, and they lived in the same house together, apparently.
That's so cool.
Softball teammates. Like, those are the great stories that get you deeper than the surface area of the game that took place last night, right? Like, how cool is that, that Bill Self was college beer league, if you will, intramural league, however you want to call it, softball league or softball team with Garth Brooks.
That's amazing. Yeah, not basketball. Intramural softball.
Intramural softball. The most successful, arguably, country musician of all time.
Seriously.
And one of the greatest to do whatever he's done in college basketball of all time. And they're playing together like the 80s or 70s or whatever it was. Probably the 80s, early 80s, down at Oklahoma State on the same intramural softball team. I wonder if Garth sang the national anthem before that.
Oh, before every game, I'd hope.
And I wonder if they knew if Garth was going to be a good singer, like he would be crooning them all the time. They're like, dude, Troy'll, stop, man. Like, you gotta cut this out. We don't need you singing. You're not that good. Oh, man, he was that good.
Yeah. Damn, not bad. Yeah, we've got some guesses here. Bill Russell?
No, Bill Self did not play with Bill
that's
Russell.
That's what I figured.
No.
That's way Bill too. Russell. Yeah, Bill Russell. I'm like, what?
Great guess.
Little age gap.
I love it.
Barry Sanders?
No, he did not play with Barry. But good guess because of Oklahoma State. But
okay, there we go.
Yeah, that would have been a really good guess.
Wayman Tisdale, a lot of Wayman Tisdales.
Yeah, because Wayman played at Oklahoma, but didn't play with Bill Self at Oklahoma State. So.
T. Boone Pickens.
There it is. It's another good one. But no, Garth Brooks is the answer to that question. That's really cool. I never knew that about Bill.
That is awesome. Yeah. That is a very fun trivia question.
Never had heard that story before, and I'm like,
but you
damn.
Guessed it right away.
I did because I just put it together. I'm giving myself credit here. A blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while, yeah. Mac. I mean, it's just doing your like, oh, okay, Oklahoma State, they're about the same age. I'm going to go with Garth Brooks.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a good guess. It worked.
So, because there are really not many other people you know from Oklahoma State. You know, Barry Sanders obviously being one of them. All right. Our poll question today. What do we have?
Well, you know what that means. Poll question on a Wednesday.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. I'm loving it. Well, hello, everybody. Happy Wednesday.
The poll question, which you can find on our Twitter or X page, TheFan965, and it reads as follows. Which AFC conference opponent do you want to see after the Broncos? You get three options: the Bills, the Bengals, or the Chargers.
It's today.
Right now, I just posted it. Like as I was talking, three votes. Bengals got two of them.
What do you want?
Not the Chargers. I want to wait later in the season to face them.
Okay.
Probably the Bengals too. Honestly, I might end up voting for the Bengals. But yeah, the Chargers. I don't know. The more I think about it, the more I'm a little scared of this Chargers team. I don't know. I just think that offense is going to be nasty. I might have some money on a Herbert MVP type season.
Why? Because of the addition of the coach?
Yep. The addition of the coach, I think that offensive line, if they stay healthy, is going to be a top 10 unit, which if you look at last year, they were the worst unit in football. When we talk about the Chargers, when we talk about Justin Herbert, it needs to be stated every other statement that they had the worst offensive line by a good margin in all of football because of the injuries and because of what he was dealing with. Justin Herbert was hit more than any other quarterback last season, and it showed, and he played through injuries, and he was still able to get them into the playoffs. Not to mention, they kind of tried to rebuild that defense a little bit, and hopefully they're better. They were an average at best unit last season. So if they take a step up, all of a sudden, that's a team that I think could win the division. And yeah, I think Mike McDaniel with Justin Herbert and with the offense that they have, again, they're going to have Gadsden. They just got David Njoku, Omarion Hampton, Kamani Vidal in the backfield, and the wide receivers and Quentin Johnston, Ladd McConkey, and Trey Harris, who most people don't know of, but they drafted him last season. He's going to be their number two wide receiver next to Ladd McConkey. They are going to have a deep, well-rounded offense with Justin Herbert at the helm, who I know some people are on hot on here in Kansas City, but I believe him to be one of the best talents in the NFL.
And that's exactly why I want to play them early.
Okay.
You know, what you just said there is exactly why I want to play them early, before they figure it out.
With the new coach?
Yes.
Yeah,
that's a good point. You got a new offensive coordinator, right? It's going to take some time to get adjusted, regardless of how good you are, how good he is, however you want to phrase it. It takes time because you're forgetting a language and you're learning a new language.
That's a good point.
And it's very hard to do that. That's why these quarterbacks, man, if teams aren't setting them up with the right offensive coordinators when they get into this league, they're SOL, because you're constantly learning a new language, you're learning a new system, and the quarterback has to know everything. For a wide receiver, a running back, a lineman, a tight end, they don't have to know everything. They don't really have to worry about what everybody else is doing. That's why when I was playing in high school back in my day, I always liked offensive line. I was fat, but I didn't have to worry about what anybody else was doing. I knew what I needed to do on that play. The quarterback needs to know what everybody's doing on every single play, right? He's got to know if that guard's pulling. He's got to know if that tackle's, you know, blocking down, or if he's blocking to the outside. There's so many different nuances that a quarterback needs to know. That's why when you change offensive coordinators and people scream all the time, fire the OC, get a new OC, you're setting your quarterback back. You're really hindering his progress to move forward when you constantly change the system. We've had the same system in place here for 13 years now, right? That means something. That matters. That is important to have those systems in place. And so when you're dealing with a new coach or a new coordinator and you have a quarterback and players that have been there before, I'm always going to hit the brakes a little bit and see, let's see how this works. Let's see how they adjust. And that's why I want to face those teams at the beginning of the year, because at the end of the year, I don't disagree with you. I think the Chargers are going to be a pretty damn good team, but I'd rather get them at the beginning of the year where you can punch them in the mouth and they're not quite ready to be that good team yet. So I would go with the Chargers as the next conference opponent that I want to see after the Broncos. I like that Bills game later in the season.
It just feels right.
You completed about half the season. Each team has had their bye week. You're starting to set up for the postseason. This has playoff implications. I like it later in the season than in week one. Imagine playing the Bills in week one and all that's taken care of and you're just chasing that all year long. It just doesn't. So I like that as a middle of the season game. And the Bengals, I'd like to play them in September because they stink in September. So give me them at the end of the month. Give me the Broncos. Give me an NFC. Give me the Chargers. Give me the Bengals. And give me that as the first month of the season.
Sign me up. That would be badass. From the 815, when's the Chargers Mac billboard going up? 913 says, great, now we have Chargers Mac. That's from Tyler in St. Louis.
Yeah.
Thanks, Tyler.
Way to go. Charger Mac. You and C-Dot can do the afternoons together. We'll move Rob in here and he'll tell us how washed we are. Coming up here on 96.5 The Fan, he's back and he's better than ever. He's Binkley.
Fesco and Dusty.
Every Hardee's is closed.
Well, that sucks.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. 96.5 The Fan.
Tobacco, football, and boobs. He knows Bobby Bowden. He knows Pete Carroll. He likes a 3-4 defense. He's Jay Binkley.
All right, it is that time of the week where we talk to our guy, Jay Binkley. He is our football insider. And, Jay, I want to start you with what we have here.
Bob, did you hang up on him?
I did not hang up on him. No. Why? Is the phone? I haven't touched the phone. I don't know how to do it. So
I thought you did.
No.
You know what happens when you touch the phone. Let me call him again.
Yeah. All right, so he's not on the phone anymore? I'm looking at line 7. There he is. He's calling back in. Yeah, I don't touch the phone. Believe me. Yes, you're right. We do know what happens when I touch the phone. And it's not a good situation.
There he is.
So he's back in. He's locked and loaded. He's ready to talk some ball. All right, Jay, I'm gonna start you off with the trivia question. Not the trivia question. Well, you know the trivia question, but the poll question. Which conference opponent do you want to see after the Broncos? The Bills, the Chargers, or the Bengals?
You know what? I'll take the Chargers.
Me too.
You know, the Chargers had the perfect scenario last year, and they blew it. They were 3-0 the first three games of the year, all against the division. So they're 3-0 against the AFC West right in the beginning. Then they didn't parlay it into anything else. I'm 100% for tough division opponents. I'm 100% for tough opponents for the Chiefs to begin the year, but especially division opponents. Here's the deal. Andy Reid is 10-3 in the first game of the year with the Kansas City Chiefs. Mm-hmm. So we know what he is after the bye. He's 33-8 after a bye week in regular season and postseason, 22-5 after the bye, just in the regular season. Why wouldn't you want Andy Reid to have the entire summer? That's why I'm so excited about Denver. I wish the game was on the road and not at Arrowhead Stadium, but I love the fact that you play a tough opponent, giving Andy Reid all that kind of rest. But give me the Chargers in week 2. And you know what? It could be a home game because the Chiefs, The Royals are gone in week two. They're back home in week three, so maybe they'll give them week two as well.
Yeah, and so, Jay, I'm thinking about the schedule, and you mentioned Denver. You'd rather have it on the road.
Yeah.
I would rather have it on the road. Mac made a great point for why, you know, you'd like to have this game at home, because the Chiefs, look, the Chiefs are still the Chiefs, man. They've earned this over the last decade to have this game at home. But there's just something special about going on the road on Monday night, especially to Denver, in those all whites with a question mark surrounding your quarterback, for some people anyway, and going out there and ripping their hearts out and getting that road win on opening night in front of a national audience and showing Patrick Mahomes is back, baby.
Yeah, for all those reasons why, you know, I'm okay with the game. I wish it was in Denver to open the season, but I don't buy into this Denver media hype as the game deserved to be in Denver.
Yeah.
Or Kyle Brandt said, okay, here's the deal. The Chiefs won. The Chiefs won nine straight divisions,
mm-hmm.
went to back-to-back-to-back Super Bowls, and they opened in Brazil. It goes further back than that. They finally break through, go to the AFC title game in 2018, lose to the Patriots in overtime. The next year, you know what? The Chiefs start off in Jacksonville. Okay,
oh, yeah.
And then in 2021, they lose to the Bengals in the AFC title game after winning the division, and they opened in Arizona. But nothing mm-hmm. sets it back to. People don't remember that Mahomes' first Super Bowl year, the year before that, they had lost to the Patriots, but yet they still had to open in Jacksonville. So you win nine straight divisions. They didn't give any favors to the Chiefs. The Broncos deserve nothing. Don't listen to what anybody's saying about the Broncos deserving that home game, because unless you win the Super Bowl, you don't deserve anything.
Well, and I think you're not wrong about that, and I don't think, I think maybe deserving is the wrong topic, wrong word to use in all this. I don't think Denver is any more deserving to host the game. I'm just looking at it from a Chiefs perspective and how awesome a road win would be in week one, Jay.
You.
I think it would be just a spectacular way to give the double bird to the rest of the NFL and go, I'm back.
100%.
I'm with you 100%, Bob. You got to play him anyway. You got to play him at home and on the road. It doesn't matter. But get that road win out of the way. And like I said, Bob, with Andy Reid so good after bye weeks, I mean, dude's 22-5, 33-8 if you throw in the postseason, but 10-3 with Kansas City. So we know how good Andy Reid is when he has time to prepare. Well, guess what? That game was set. It's locked in. It's going to be the Denver Broncos in week one. You know what Andy Reid starts working on?
Yesterday.
From May 11th on, the Denver Broncos in week one. You give him a week, and he does great things. And that's difficult with a 1 week in the NFL to make the adjustments that he does, but he found a way to do it. But you give him the entire summer to have the Denver Broncos top of mind. I'll play anybody in week one with Andy Reid. Anywhere.
Yeah, absolutely, Jay. And yeah, the Broncos think they're
ready to go. Exactly.
Let's go, Bank.
I'm in the studio, man. I'm fired up.
I know that I'm hard.
Jay, all right, two quick questions for you. One, breaking news from the 785. Please let Jay know that one of the Hardee's in Topeka opened back up. Your response?
That's awesome. I'm going to Topeka.
Okay, and question.
Road trip, baby.
It was so funny that text comes in because I was sitting at the light in front of the Hardee's at like 104th and Metcalf yesterday, and I looked at it and it's closed. And I just go, that sucks.
That sucks.
All good things come to an end. I don't get it.
I don't get it either, Bink, but something that doesn't come to the end is this schedule release week, and obviously it's going to be all week. That is the storyline. But Bink, I saw this from some random fan. It's a Bills fan, so take it for what it is. But still, I think he actually had a pretty good idea. This is what he thinks week one should be. He thinks week one should be 16 AFC versus NFC games because it's too fluky of a week to have divisional games or even conference games because those tiebreakers mean too much. What do you think about that?
No, I'm okay with it being anyway. And listen, it came from a Bills fan, so I got to throw it out. But it doesn't matter to me. I mean, the NFL, the way it's scheduled now, I'm good with it. You play anybody, anywhere. I will say this, though, Mac. I did, like I said, I love the way the Chargers opened up against three AFC West teams to begin the year. That sets the tempo of your entire season. You find out so much about your team, and they blew it. Because they were 3-0 against the division, obviously. Those injuries took place as well. But, no, I'm good. AFC, NFC matchups. I understand what they're doing. They're doing it for marketing. Let's get people talking about it. Let's have people talk about, you know, games. I do like the divisional games first, though. I'll be honest with you. I do like the AFC West, AFC West. I love some of these matchups we're seeing in the NFL.
Yeah, you know, you throw the big matchups out there right away. The week three is when they kind of have the little bit of a lull in the season. We all feel it, you know, when they have those games. They like the big games to start the season. It really is a shame, Jay, though, because you are a guy who's such a visionary. I thought you would have had a scheduled release show before all these other places that are out there right now.
Yeah, it's funny. You look back at a 2015 or whatever it is, you go to the program director and say, hey, can we do a schedule release show after Burns done with the Royals post game? And so we come on at about 11:30. It's just funny what it's become for the NFL, because you know how baseball does it, Bob.
Yeah.
You get that email in the middle of a day, just whenever, about next year's schedule. They just send an email out that here's next year's schedule, but they make a big deal of it. I enjoy it. I like to see who you're playing with. I understand it's a marketing machine.
It's great.
That's why they're doing it. But here's the deal.
I'm so excited for Thursday night to see the schedule, because I'm already starting to plan stuff for the fall. My sister's got an event that I need to go to in New Jersey, and I'm looking at the calendar. I'm like, all right, Thursday we'll know what they're doing on that Sunday. Like it sets your whole schedule for the fall.
It does, but we have to remember something. I know that there's going to be a lot of emphasis on week one. Let's all remember that week one is a lie, because so many things happen, it's a lie. Let's not forget the Raiders beat the Patriots in New England on week one. The Patriots go to the Super Bowl. The Raiders picked first in the draft.
That's crazy when you think about it that way. What did you think of the Chiefs' Bread Bowl schedule release yesterday with the sourdough?
I think it's funny how many people got worked up about it.
I know.
What the team's doing. They're 100% trolling everybody, and they're not going to release their schedule as bread. They did it because, you know, people talk about the Chiefs' schedule release, and it's been lamer. I don't know why they did it, but they did it to troll people. That's 100% what they're doing. They weren't being serious with those tweets.
Well, no. Well, I don't know, but it was.
Do you really think so?
It's their highest tweet in a long time. I mean, it's at 4.2 million views right now.
Well, I got everybody talking about it, and they knew that would happen. So that hit the mark.
Yeah.
That hit the mark, because they typically put these schedule releases out, like the cash cab they did last year and things like that. They don't have the best schedule releases.
Yeah,
we know that.
Yeah.
We know the Chargers are going to have
I think it's going to be good this year. Vrabel and Russini should be on everybody's schedule release this year.
Well, the Patriots play the Chargers, so you know they're teeing up on this one.
Yeah. No, I think, look, I'm looking forward to what they do. Those guys over there at 65 Toss Power Trap, they do a great job with all of their videos, man.
Yeah.
They give you the goosebumps every time you watch them. So I'm excited for the schedule release. I would like it to be something like some sort of Mahomes revenge tour or something would be really cool.
Please,
I mean,
yes.
Just go out there and be the heel of the NFL or however they're going to do it. But I look back at the Bread Bowl thing. And look, it's probably going to get about 5 million views by the time it's all said and done. It's up to 4.2 million. It did. It got a ton of clicks, but I kept looking at it yesterday and I just laugh more and more. I'm like, oh my God, this thing is so bad.
Hi, my name is Lloyd Lockridge, and I'm the host of a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. In this podcast, I'm going to have people on to tell unusual and sometimes far-fetched stories about their families.
I've heard my whole life that she invented the margarita.
And then we're going to investigate those stories and find out how much of it is true.
He gets a patent 1 month before the Wright brothers. Oh my God.
Please follow and listen to Family Lore, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
It's funny.
Yes. So bad it's good.
Well, they're so good at everything they do, and the schedule release kind of, you know, falls on deaf ears when they put that schedule release out. But I just thought they were having fun with it. Like, they put that out there. We'll get people talking about it.
And
you know
what?
It was a home run because people are talking about it. What are the Chiefs doing? What are they, even the Chiefs fans, like, what are we doing here? 100%, I think the Chiefs are trolling.
Yeah, they did it for the clicks, and it worked again. So
they did.
It was outstanding. Way to go. I think it's hysterical. Jay, we'll see you in 2 minutes when you walk in the door.
Yeah, appreciate you, Bink. We'll talk to you later.
All right, guys. Take care.
That's Jay Binkley with us here on 96.5 The Fan. Coming up, he failed. But will Mahomes fail? We'll discuss that next.
Talk to you later.
You're listening to Bob Fesco.
I'm surprised nobody punched him in the jaw yet.
And Dusty Likens.
He's a hoe, and I want that known.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. Your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life.
all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.